faithful. God is majestic. Can't hear me. Now we can. Can you hear me? I understand that's a dead zone. God is majestic, and he is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Someone asked me this morning, several people asked me this morning, how are you? 34 years ago and 11 hours, June 27th, 1992, somebody asked me the same question. And I realized right then that nothing was fine in my life, because I used to say, oh, fine, how are you? Oh, fine. I realized that nothing was fine in my life. And I found myself in a big circle of people on my knees. Somebody asked me, would you like me to pray with you? I said, no, I know what I need to pray for. And probably for the next, I don't know, long time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, I poured my heart out to God. Realizing that Jesus needed to be my Savior and my Lord.
Thanks a lot.
Nope. Not that one. Number one. Not that one. The one that says Jesus. Jesus, a name above all other names, the name above all other names, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I submitted my life to Jesus 34 years ago yesterday, and this morning when I was asked, how are you? I knew my life was so different than when I was asked 34 years ago. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Feasting with God in prayer is the title of this message, and feasting brings all kinds of word pictures to my mind. Feasting is not McDonald's. Feasting is spending hours preparing Julia Child's bœuf bourguignon to have it sit in the oven for hours, bringing it out, setting it on the table with dear friends, and taking that first bite and knowing that this is a feast. This is the Bible from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. It is the meta narrative, the great story that God has laid out for us. And when I asked for the call to worship to be, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It is. God has always known us, and he wants relationship with us. I began my relationship with him 34 years ago, and in that prayer time, I prayed and I heard God's voice. I didn't realize it for a long time that, wow, this was my first conversation with God. And how beautiful that was. And I want to read a passage now. Our passage is Psalm 139. And if you will please stand for the reading of God's word. A psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. You may be seated. This is in the clearest language that God knows us. Later in Psalm 139, God says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows us, and he wants us to know him better and better. As believers, with Jesus living inside of us and the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have such a rich opportunity to feast with God. Jesus is the centerpiece of the Bible. And Jesus is interceding for us right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. One day, those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus will be seeing face to face what we see through a glass darkly. Are you longing for more? Are you longing for a relationship with God for those of you who have not trusted Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord? After the service, the altar's open. So how do we know our God more and more? Well, wisdom is such a factor in knowing God. But let's take it before that about relationship. I'm going to read a couple passages today out of J.I. Packer's Knowing God. He was my professor at seminary for my survey class, and he was someone that Greg and I had broken bread with after church. He'd come to our church, and he would preach at our little church in Vancouver once a year, and then some of us would go out to lunch and got to know him a little bit. He was born in England, and I knew that, but I also knew from breaking bread with him that he liked really spicy food. And if you know anything about the English, they're not into spicy food. So I ask you a question. The people that are closest to us, we want to know. We want to know more. about them. We ask questions. We know their voice when they call on the phone. Back in the day, I might be giving away my age range here, just in case you didn't know, that I was born before there was internet. So calling on the phone or call display, so calling on the phone, you pick up the phone, and you would hear a familiar voice. And I'd say, oh, hi, Greg, because I knew his voice. I know God's voice because he's spoken to me. We've had conversations, and his voice is sweet. Oh, taste and know that the Lord is good. So having relationship with God, knowing him, is wonderful. And it is necessary to have our walk with him. So how does he go about revealing himself to us? Well, we have general revelation. We have his creation, the flowers, the trees, our little dogs, Gracie and Mimi, yours. And then we have a special revelation of his word, the Bible. And he gives us also, through the Holy Spirit, our need to know him. And so let me just read a passage about this. Dr. Packer says, the word which God addresses directly to us, like a royal speech, only more so, an instrument not only of government, but also of fellowship. For though God is a great king, it is not his wish to live at a distance from his subjects. Rather, the reverse. He made us with the intention that we might walk together forever in a love relationship. But such a relationship can only exist when our parties involved know something of each other. God, our Maker, knows all about us before we say anything. But we can know nothing about him unless he tells us. Here, therefore, is a further reason why God speaks to us, not only to move us to do what he wants, but to enable us to know him so that we may love him. Therefore, God sends his word to us in the character of both information and invitation. It comes to woo us as well to instruct us. It not merely puts us in the picture of what God has done and is doing, but also calls us into personal communion with the loving Lord himself. So our call to worship, oh, taste and see that God is good. So there's a problem that we all have. Is how can we be people of prayer, trusting in him and not leaning on our own understanding and seeking God for those things that we have need of, either for ourselves or for others? We will have a time of prayer afterwards. And it'll be feasting in prayer. And we do feast in prayer. But sometimes, I would like to say that sometimes it's more of a drive-through McDonald's than sitting at a table with Julia Child's Boeuf Bourguignon. And the problem is that sometimes we have a need that we want to pray about. And let's say somebody says, will you pray for me for a job? I need a job. So we go rushing into prayer. We say, Lord, so-and-so needs a job. I'm interceding. And this is wonderful to pray for what God has given us to pray for. But what it doesn't do is, what about the person who is seeking the job, who needs the job, and who are have all the rest of their life aside from looking for a job? So, for instance, how is their character lining up more with the will and purposes of God as they're looking for a job? How is our character that needs to line up with the nature and character of God and His aims and purposes for us lining up as we pray for this person who needs the job? So when we pray for ourselves first, asking God, God, how can I pray really effectively for this person? What do I need to change in my mind and my heart and my will to conform to God's will? And when we start with praying for ourselves, we then are feasting with God, because we can bring this need before the Father, saying, Lord, help them as they are being patient, waiting for a job. So perhaps you said, okay, I can pray for them for that, but you can pray ahead of time for yourself. Lord, you can give me patience for the rest of my day, for how I interact with my spouse, my friend, my coworker. And so it becomes a rich conversation with God. And it keeps us from being demanding of God, just give them a job, or heal that person, or bring them to salvation. What is going on in the heart of the one that you're praying for salvation for? What's going on in their lives to woo that person toward Jesus that you can pray over, instead of going cutting right to the chase and saying, okay, Lord, pray for their salvation? What is it that we can pray for in order to woo them by the Holy Spirit to the Lord? My parents prayed for me 10 years after they became believers. And they didn't just pray for my salvation. They prayed for me as I, by the Holy Spirit, over 10 years was being wooed. Longer than that, but the time they were praying. Do you see? So it is so much more than just cutting to the chase and getting to the end. So when we do that, we may be trusting in our own wisdom, in our own understanding, instead of having that desire that has us be part of a larger conversation with God. Jesus went to a lonely place and prayed. That's just one of many times it's recorded in Mark 1. Did he do all the talking? So let's have a conversation with God in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we won't have this thinking that, okay, we know what they need, but letting God be in conversation as He wants to be. Dr. Larry Crabb, in his book Inside Out, addresses this, what he calls demandingness. We demand in prayer. God put things right in our lives. We don't look at His kingdom purposes with His character and nature in mind. We demand prayers the way we want things to turn out. This is what I call vending machine prayers. Let's watch this short movie clip.
Thanks a lot. Come back again.
get my candy.
Don't shoot. Don't shoot. I'm a family man.
I don't want my milk duds. I didn't get my milk duds.
I don't have any cash. We don't keep cash at night, only credit cards.
I don't want your credit cards. I want my milk duds. I haven't eaten in 2 days. I'm desperate. Now move. Okay, pick them up. And nothing with peanut butter. I don't like peanut butter.
You like Nestle's Crunch? Nestle's Crunch are good.
I'm not a crook. I just want what I paid for.
We don't have any milk duds. You like a Clark bar? How about a Crispy? Zagnut?
Zagnut's good. Zagnut. All right, okay. Turn around. Count 500, 600. No funny business. If you try anything,
one,
I'll be back tomorrow night.
Two, three, four, five,
Dale!
Six, seven,
you guys have
eight,
a change of candy?
10, 11, 12, 13.
Vending machine prayers are not satisfying. Having a rich conversation with God is so satisfying. Let's consider, as we think about how this is that we are going to be praying differently for those needs that come before us by looking at the Apostle Paul and the thorn in his flesh. So my Friday morning ladies Bible study group are very familiar when I say, put yourself as if you are in the picture, as if you are in the time of whatever is happening in the Bible. And that's such a great way to think about, as if we're maybe watching this video unfold, right? Or something. Just put yourself in the picture. So Paul has a thorn in his side. We don't know what the thorn is. Big debate. It's okay. It's unnecessary to know what the thorn is. What is necessary to know is that God gave it to him, and he asked 3 times to have it removed, and it didn't happen. So let's say we hear, we're in the picture, we hear from afar, Paul has a thorn in his side. Do we want to rush to pray, oh God, take the thorn out? Take the thorn from him. Restore him. Be somebody that God can still use because he doesn't have this hindrance. And God was so gracious that he let Paul kind of chew on this. He says, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he has said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. So he had time with this thorn to kind of consider. He asked, and God gave him a better way. That was Jesus' words there. God gave him a better way to look at the situation. And as we, if we were there and we heard about Paul and his thorn and in his side, whatever that thorn was, we could pray something like, God, what are you doing in me that is, that I'm not exalting God, or what are you doing in me that is your wisdom that I need to pray for Paul? Whether or not you remove the thorn is not at issue, but you being glorified is everything. So we come to wisdom. We need God's wisdom. God is a God of all wisdom. We have our wisdom, and we have God's wisdom. And if you want to know more about wisdom, well, there's books for that. And books in the Bible. Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. Packer says, wisdom is just one facet of the life of faith, for what underlies and sustains it. Why? The conviction that the inscrutable God of providence is the wise and gracious God of creation and redemption. We can be sure that the God who made this marvelously complex world order and who compassed the great redemption from Egypt and who later compassed the even greater redemption from sin and Satan knows what he is doing and doeth all things well, even if for the moment he hides his hand. We can trust him and rejoice in him, even when we cannot discern his path. So praying for us, for ourselves, to have wisdom and then branch it off from there could be a place to start in how we lift up others and other needs and prayers. We have, there's so many hard things our hearts. Yesterday, we feasted in prayer with Aida's presentation of the persecuted church. And we feasted in prayer because we took prayer needs to God. And it wasn't rushed. And it was Holy Spirit led in that, praying the way God has desired for us, and it was a rich time. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible, says if we are to pray aright, perhaps it is quite necessary that we pray contrary to our own heart. Not that we want to pray is important, but what God wants us to pray. So we have conversation with God, and having conversation with God cannot be matched. Think about having great conversation with people you love, maybe during coffee or over a nice meal, and you have rich conversation, and that's what God desires. Going to go into our time of prayer now, and are there any other prayer cards?